Hello and welcome to the Gamerland Podcast. This is episode 538. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Hey, rewind and be kind. I think I've done that one before.
That's okay. You're allowed to repeat and lather and rinse and repeat.
And those orders. Let's just play this groove out. This is good. I'm glad we're doing this intro for this episode because today we're going to go down memory lane.
Thank you, Kevin.
I think it'd be very good because we need to all remember that video games were not invented in 2006.
Sorry. I hit a wrong button. Also not invented in 2006. Wrong buttons.
Yeah, those have been around forever. Do you remember that commercial?
Staples Easy Button invented.
Oh, another commercial. Yeah, nice.
That's good, where good, I was good. Going.
Nice.
Was that invented in 06, you think?
That seems like about the right time.
I think
time.
It has to be.
The commercial I was going for was there were the two dudes in the different eras of technology, and one guy is always showing the other one these different eras. And
why do you remember all
do
this?
Well, it's a more recent one.
Was invented in 06. How do you have all these commercial awareness?
I didn't get TiVo until I moved here. It went in like 05. TiVo was invented in like 2002.
Yeah.
Remember we used to drive by it on the way to Great America. Mm-hmm. They built that one thing, or they bought that one complex there. And now I think they're run out of a teepee somewhere in Wichita.
Remember when we would drive by it, but we didn't really know what it was? We just saw that the logo was. And then I remember...
I remember thinking it was some stupid .com thing.
Yes, and somebody mentioned it in a class I was taking, a media theory class, media literacy class at San Jose State. It was mentioned.
Yeah.
Also, at the same time, she said, I know this isn't a plug. It's not like I own stock in them, but I think everybody should get on board with Netflix because it's a service that is definitely worth supporting and could change the way you become entertained.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how long ago we were in college, kids.
Bam.
That's how long ago. Now you have your streaming Netflix and your Hulu Pluses.
When I was in college, it was a really exciting time because it was the beginning of the digital HD momentum things, the stuff that's totally obvious now. I mean, I still had doofus professors that were making me cut things in reel to reel.
Yes.
It was so jacked up. And they had a room with an Avid in it, but it was so hard. Kids that I knew, like friends that I knew that went to, that were like freshmen when I was a senior in college, by the time that they were taking the same class as I were, they were checking out laptops and editing stuff at home. You had to rent a room this size for an hour once a week in order to work on your video projects when I was in school. And just 3 years later, kids were checking out laptops.
In the radio production class I took at San Jose State, I remember having a conversation with you about how angry I was that the professor was making us learn to cut tape. Not because it was a skill, but her point was to say that it was better. And I was like,
there's no way
can tell the difference.
That Scotch tape on magnetic reels are better than digital. There is no way. Because the efficiency alone makes digital better, a thousand times better.
Agree wholeheartedly.
So I was in one of those classes with one of the technical people, and he said he was going to those conventions in Las Vegas where they were determining the future of HD and what the industry standards would be. And I'll never forget, he had on the wall, I am a part of the group of people that are rooting for the 1080, and he writes, it's on the wall. 180i and underlines it. And he said, there are other industry people who would like it to be a 720p. And he's like,
Lefevre?
Yeah. And he's like, boo. And he puts an X on it. He's like, this is going to be better. And I was like, bleh, you are talking digital noise now.
Now it's common knowledge.
Yeah. Like your 5 year old can tell me that he's watching a 1080i television. And the other big thing, I remember snooping in on a class where they talked about convergence, which is the new media, which has happened, where all of media technology is being dumped onto the same track, as opposed to having movies in movie theaters, television in television, radio on the radio, everything is, because of the digital age, everything is funneling into the same device, and those lines are getting super blurred, and then people sue because their commercials show up at gas stations and they don't know it. So it's all shattered around. And then the last story of the new millennium, because I went to college in 1999, that same professor...
Did you party like it was 99?
The whole time. It wasn't that exciting. No one was dead. There was 10% of your grade in this class was to get an email address.
Yes! I remember getting an email address when I got my gateway.
Yeah.
I think my first email address was a Hotmail account.
Mine was
MSN.
Mine was the SJSU.edu. MSN, they're still around now, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. But MSN was before they created Hotmail.
Yeah. Yeah, that predated it. Mine was like Kevin or K.Miller.9@sjsu.edu.
My first email would have been in 2000.
With 90, that MSN?
99 or 2000 would have been my first email.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
one was yours?
Like 98, 99, somewhere in there. Probably in that same computer lab.
I felt like I was behind everybody, though.
Well, you were in the Bay Area, and specifically San Jose, where the internet and technology, the tech sector, was extremely pushed. So, yes, you were. But if you went out, I mean, there are still people today.
I remember financing a $700 desktop PC for myself, my wife, and my roommates.
Yeah.
And not knowing why.
Why
I wasn't really going. Maybe it's because I was going to go to college or something. Mm-hmm. I was like, I couldn't remember why I needed it, but I made payments. That's to me. Wow. That says more about memory lane. Is that I made payments on a $700 desktop PC.
Yeah, good for you.
I
remember that thing.
Piece of garbage.
It was a gateway.
It was a gateway e-machine, and I knew nothing about any of it. I had no idea. I was so ignorant, but I was like, I'm going to do this, and they gave you payment plans. You told me that if I needed to finance something that was $700, I would laugh at you.
Yeah.
That is something I do not need then.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I always wanted a computer really badly because I knew kids in the neighborhood that had computers. I wanted one, but we would not get one. And my senior year, I think we finally had like a household computer, but it was mainly for my brother to play video games on. And my parents gave me a word processing machine, which was a typewriter with a monitor attached to it. So the only thing I could write an essay and look at it on the screen and then hit print and the typewriter would print it out. It'd save all this information onto floppy disks. So that was
floppy disks.
That was as good as it gets. So then finally I graduate high school. I graduated college, and my parents finally gave me a real computer. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a graduation present. They gave me a real computer, and I was like, I went through college with this thing. And
well, here's the funny thing is that I remember having a Palm Pilot. Like, I was always the tech-savvy kid, and for whatever reason, I moved to the Silicon Valley, and I just had no desire to have any of the gadgets or anything.
Yep.
And then, so that's why I was so behind on getting a computer and all this stuff. But when I was going to San Jose State, people used to laugh at me because what I had was I had a little Palm Pilot that it wasn't your phone. It was just a PDA.
It was a different, they were two different devices.
Right. And because I had the Nextel Direct Connect flip phone that you could walkie-talkie someone, and that was a free phone call.
Yeah.
But I had a rubberized, like a Transformer-esque keyboard.
Yes.
And so I would clip that in while the lectures, and I would take notes. Sometimes I would spend an entire class writing an essay.
Yeah.
And then I would go home, and I could sync it with that crappy gateway PC and then print out my...
That's still cool.
My essay.
That's still cool.
Right.
I'm still down with that.
But that's what I'm saying is that the guy who was behind on the email was was like, what the hell is the guy doing over there?
I had
like Doctor Who.
I had a Vadim tablet. See, it's so funny because now everybody's got tablets. It's not a big deal.
I remember this.
But there was a pocket of time where tablets were a joke.
Yeah.
Before the iPad came out,
we used to laugh at how big that thing was because everybody had the little PDA.
Yeah, exactly. So I had this, you should look it up. It's a Vadim tablet. It's still pretty bitchin'. It's if you imagine an iPad where underneath the iPad is a keyboard that lays parallel with it.
Spun and laid flat, didn't it?
So you could open up like a regular laptop and have a keyboard and look at your screen, but then the screen part would pivot so it would click on top of the keyboard, hiding the keyboard underneath the thing. And it ran on Windows NT. Yeah, those are the guys. Those are the ones. And it's still pretty great. And I was the talk of the town. I had classmates looking at me all the time. And they would want my notes because I was actually able to verbatim copy and paste notes from classes in there. I've still got that thing.
This is the thing you'd always do.
Yep, that one right there.
Write with it. And
But all I wanted to do was play movies, which I couldn't do, of course. Yeah. but that's not the memory. So that's all college age technology. Let's go further back to at least discussing computer games that were popular about that era.
Zip discs. Sorry.
Oh yeah, I've still got my zip discs. They were 100. My zip dick. It was really powerful. That had 100 megabytes.
Yeah.
It had 100 megabytes. Ah! It has so much information that it requires its own external power. And they were like, they were heavy. They were spinning little drives. They were so heavy. iOmega Zip Disk. The iOmega is still in the scene. My terabyte-sized external hard drive is by iOmega.
I had an iOmega external drive.
Talk about being on the cutting edge. They're like, no, memory. We got it. We're on it.
We're going to get in on the ground floor.
So when I was in high school, those friends that had computers, we had the original SimCity. And I would go over to my buddy's house and have sleepovers where we would just sit up all night and we would play SimCity. And by we, I mean he would sit behind the console and I would watch him. I had really good friends in high school. You're my best friend. You at least let me borrow the controller from time to time.
But why is that a bad thing? I did that all the time. But I was the person watching and I was never upset or bothered by it.
Yeah, but this was definitely like
you couldn't even have input on what he was doing with his city?
He'd get advice or whatever, but it was more like he just was unaware. It was just a high school relationship. He was unaware that there was somebody else in the room. high school. I remember he played a game. I wish I could pull the name of it, but it was an top-down kind of strategy game where you were a cop in the future, or you were like a gunman in the future, and you wander through these towns, and you try to sell these like future drugs and that kind of thing, and then you get sim packs and get stronger. Man, I watched him play that game for hours. And then I watched him playing Dune 2000 for a long time. Oh, that was a pretty solid game. That was pretty great.
My friend, but this is way before high school. I think I was almost in junior high. I used to watch my friend play Police Quest.
Oh, what's that?
It was a spinoff of like King's Quest or something like that, but it was a text-based game, but it had like a graphics or whatever. Yeah, I know.
Text-based.
Oh my gosh, but it was so cool to me. Like,
what was it called?
Police Quest, if I remember correctly.
I was going to type that in. I was like, no, that can't be it. That can't be the name of a game.
No, I think it is.
It's like,
let me make sure it's the right one.
It looks like that Retroville game that PlayStation came out with recently.
Yeah, wait, are you thinking of Retro City Rampage?
Yeah, Retro City Rampage, yeah. This looks pretty great. It's pretty old school graphics.
Oh my gosh, what I wouldn't want to... This is so... the image, In Pursuit of the Death, or I don't know what that... But that image of the police station, you would start in, and one of the things was that you had to go in and report and take a shower before you put on your uniform. And it was like, this was back in the day where if you didn't do stuff, you would just die and you'd have to start over.
Yeah.
But, and then I remember you had a shootout, but it was, oh my gosh, it was so much fun. Oh, so great.
Good games from the old future. I mean, because that was the time where they were starting to put, I see the scene here from Police Quest. So they would take pictures of real life places and then animate in characters that were essentially like animated GIFs in there. But they were the super low res JPEGs and GIFs that were pretty painful to look at.
Oh my gosh, for $7 you can get the Police Quest series.
Do it.
But I don't have a way to play it.
Why not? You have a computer right there.
But it's a PC.
Oh, it's a PC-based game.
Yeah, Sierra.
So for another $100, you can get...
I was hoping that there would be like a net-based port or something.
I'm
like
sure
that.
If you spend a little time, you'll find something. People love that stuff. Somebody's done a web-based version of that game, I'm sure. So let's start in the very beginning. As Justin and I have mentioned before, we are first-generation gamers. We've played games since the current iteration of home-based console games have been around. Justin, describe your earliest experience with whatever console that was.
I think it was a Tandy. It was one of those keyboards that you have plugged into the television, and I used to play a game. I can't remember what the name of it was, but it was like a Pac-Man-esque game, but there were two cockroaches that danced on the side of the screen.
That sounds vaguely
And they played
familiar.
The La Cucaracha. Yeah. Whatever you, they got you. They go, we gotcha. Remember that old, like, really distorted audio?
We gotcha.
We gotcha.
Sort of like how your two-year-old talks now.
Yeah.
You need Jacob to interpret.
And it would, and then that's how you die, and then it go.
But it was a maze-based game where you were running around. Yeah.
And then from there, there was also a skiing one. Let's see. I want to figure out what the name of that was.
How do you even Google search that? Cockroach game.
I bet you. Let's see. I put in Tandy. Cockroach Tandy game. Bad Mojo. That can't be right.
Let's see. Dangerously Bad Mojo.
No, that's not right. But yeah, so then from there, I went to Load Runner, which was on my dad's Tandy 1000. Yeah. And then
Distastefully Bad Mojo. That's what I meant to say.
Oh, sorry.
Go on.
Load Runner was awesome. I played hours of that game.
Yeah.
And it was like a, for anybody who doesn't know this game, there are ports, because I know we've talked about this years ago on the show. There's a port, a web-based port that you could play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a Donkey Kong-esque game where there's ladders and bricks, and then there's like four or five guys. And what you have to do is figure out a way to run away, and I think sometimes you have to get something or kill all the guys on a map. And
And
then once you do that, you move on to the next map. And so you had a laser on your hand that you could burn out the brick, but the brick would regenerate after so many seconds.
Oh, cool.
So you'd have to come up with a sequence. Like, you'd have to run around and then get everybody in a line. Then you go, brr, 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 and then they would all fall in. And then, yeah, there it is. That's not Load Runner, is it?
No, I was just giving us some Atari-based music to be the backdrop of this.
But it had that, yeah, you're right. It had that kind of music.
Yeah.
Wait, TRS-80? Let's see if this is the... Yeah, number Radio Shack hardware. No, that can't be right. No, because it comes with a radio, a screen. But anyway, so that was the... although maybe it was, because it was just a keyboard. But anyway, that was the game that I played. And then from there, I remember going on to the Nintendo.
My
favorite games were Excitebike.
Yeah.
When I first got that Nintendo. And then I remember... We always played, like, Double Dribble. I was never into Mario Brothers or any of those kinds of...
For shame.
Or Zelda. I was a Double Dribble, Tecmo Bowl,
Got
Super
it.
Tecmo Bowl.
Well, before you get too far down that generation, let's start in the proto era, as I like to call it.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but I'm
That's
listening.
Before the Nintendo. I feel like because Nintendo started, and we can, this isn't just my opinion, the history of gaming consoles proves this, that the Nintendo kind of settled out the market, stabilized it, and that's been the bar to hit for every other console since then. As we mentioned before, there was the great video game crash of 1983, where there were just far too many consoles out in the market, and somehow Nintendo was like, I got a great idea. Let's make another console. But for me, I hadn't played a video game, didn't know what they were until my stepdad came home with his Atari and his Coleco. And the Coleco was the newer of the two devices. And the Coleco had what looked like a phone keypad, 1 through 9, plus the 0 button, and then these like weird controllers thing. So you actually had
wheels, wasn't it? Like
kind
knob?
Of like wheels. Yeah, they were like a knob, but it was a joystick at the same time. So imagine a knob joystick, but it didn't turn. It would move, you know, up, down, left, right, and at the four angles. So we played Q-Bert on that. So it had high graphics because it could play Q-Bert. But then when they also had the Atari, because they had gotten that earlier, and that had River Raid and Pac-Man and all those. And I would play those games for so many hours, playing Pac-Man to the point where my eyes would hurt and my thumb would hurt, because before the Nintendo controller, the like thumb based thing, you had to hold the controller with your left hand, if you were right handed, to stabilize it, and then use your right hand to manipulate the thing around. Both hands were clenched the entire time to move it around, so it was mostly in the wrist, and it became extremely exhausting by the end of it. Then I remember the first time I held a Nintendo, I was like, weird. All you need are your thumbs. This doesn't seem fair.
The Tandy game, I remember, came with an actual joystick. And I just remember the part that always confused me was there was a trim on the up and the X and the Y axis.
What is that? What do you mean?
So, like, you would have the joystick, right?
Yeah.
In fact, maybe I could pull up an image of it so I could show you. But you had the joystick, and then there was like a like on a gear, a clicker knob. And that's how you could set it if it was off center, if that makes sense.
Ah, got it. Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So it would give you like this fine. Oh, here it is. Oh my gosh! Wow, look at that. I used to play Load Runner on that. So
yeah, these, yeah, yeah. That was that's the real deal. Yeah.
So the thing sat in the center, but if you weren't pressing anything and the guy was trying to move up, then you had to turn your trim down a little or turn this trim over.
Oh,
here
cool.
To the left. And then that red button was how you would burn the little spots in
got
the bricks
it,
and stuff like
that's
that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that, and that was also from the Tandy, the We Gotcha game also that
yeah,
ported
yeah.
over from that. Because that plugged into our television, and then my dad got the Tandy 1000 that was like a PC. I don't know what he
did
on that.
Life changed. Life changed. We had boxes and boxes of Atari games, like to the point where, and you remember, you could just hit simply on the console because the console was pretty much like your controller, which is you would sit with it,
uh-huh.
and it had power on, power off, and then reset, and then there were select buttons because they weren't on the controller. The controller just had the fire red button and the joystick. So if you wanted to cycle through, there was a game called Tank Commanders where if you wanted to choose the level parameters for your tank combat, you would select, and you just kept hitting select to cycle through. There were 100 variations for them.
Oh,
so, and there was no back button. So if you wanted number 87, you had to go select 87 times till you could find that particular dynamic. And if you missed it, you had to go another 100 to go all the way back again.
Wow, look at all this. Is it right here? This is the first. That was what it looks like. But it says Atari Age on the...
That might just be the way they make you search for it.
Yeah. Classic computers for sale. I could buy this again.
That's how you should spend your money. Yeah. That's good. We had a Commodore 64, which actually predates all of this technology, and it was a keyboard. That hooked up to your TV. And if you wanted
That's
to save
was.
Anything, it was a tape deck. Yeah, it was
like a cassette tape?
It was an audio cassette tape, and so you would record.
Wow.
You would if you were to get a game or mostly a computer program, it recorded it as a like a fax signal. Ming gong, ming gong, gong 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 gong. And so, like to load a big game could take you 20 minutes for it to store all of that in its RAM. And if you had a power outage, or if something happened to the plug or whatever, everything that was in the RAM on the machine gone in an instant. Yeah, gone in an absolute instant. But you had basic computer scripting language, which you would type 10, print, hello, 20, go to 10, run. Hello, 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 hello. That was the Commodore 64. So how did you get your Nintendo?
My mom bought it for me for either my birthday or my Christmas. I had my own Christmas.
Nice.
Yeah, it had to be.
It happens in July.
Had to be a birthday or Christmas or whatever that she bought. And I got Duck Hunt. I don't think I even got the one that came with Mario Brothers because I wasn't interested in it.
Really?
And then she...
why did you hate life?
I don't know. She... what was it? I know I had Double Dribble because that was the game I'd play with my man friend. And he used to always think it was funny because he'd go, Double Dibble! And he was a big basketball nut. But yeah, I think that's it. How did you get yours?
Well, I think I've shared this before. I went over to a friend's house, and they had the Nintendo, and it changed my life that I came home and made all of my toys then exist
yes.
in the Super Mario
yeah,
world.
Guys, we're all,
yeah,
we're
we had
all
a big
Mario
team
now.
Meeting, and yeah. that all happened. So the neighborhood kid that was a little older than me also had the Nintendo before me, and he had Metroid, and I, different friend, would go over to his house and watch him play Metroid mm-hmm. for all of spring break. And that was how we spent spring break. I'd root him on and look at the Nintendo Power game guide and tell help him figure out how to go and move on. So,
oh, the Nintendo Power.
So I, for Christmas, same thing, had wanted it. And it was a super popular toy. It was impossible to get a hold of. And I remember for dinner after they told me, you're getting a Nintendo for Christmas. Sorry, it's not here now. And then maybe the next night we had Chinese food, and I was still expecting the Nintendo to come. And they're like, the store, or wherever it was supposed to come from, just didn't have it yet. And so we opened up fortune cookies, and the fortune cookie that I got said, good things come to those who wait.
Not cool, fortune cookie.
To which I showed my mom, and she's like, yeah, she was waiting. I think, looking back, I think she was expecting me to be, like, angry about it or something. Yeah. And instead, she was pleased to see that I was like, oh, okay, so I'm on board with this. When it eventually finally showed up, I taped that fortune cookie to the front of the dashboard of the NES, and it was there for the entire time that I owned that NES. And if you remember, the NES was just a box that had that weird lid thing that you had to lift up to get the cartridge in and out of that was on a spring loader. Yeah.
And they were the responsible for the 150% increase in 5-inch Q-tip sales.
Yeah. Who thought, why did they think that it needed to be, because cartridges had been around, right? We had cartridges on the Atari and many other platforms. They were open air to the public. Who was like, here's what we need to do. It has to be inside an encased box that you can close the lid on. Oh, and also, to get it in there, it has to lock down on a spring-loaded contraption. Why? Why was that the thing? Yeah. No other Nintendo or anything behaved that way ever again or since.
The Sega Genesis...
top loader.
Yeah.
Put it in there.
Put it in there.
NES, top loader. Just put it in there. Everything. And then eventually we went to disc-based, and now we don't have cartridges.
Yeah. We don't?
Now we just download
stuff.
Yes,
we do.
Now the future is
now. Little memory cartridges that are the size of a Listerine breath strip.
Oh, which is also amazing that you don't need a whole mouthful of alcohol. Technology is amazing. So for us, we got the Nintendo Power Pad and the gun, as well as Super Mario Brothers, and those are all on the one cartridge. So the cartridges were deceivingly large, mm-hmm. that you didn't just have one game on them, that you could. Oh, we had three games on ours, and then we also got Zelda at the same. So they're like, oh, here, congratulations, you own an NES. Here's five other games. So I went from having nothing in one day to this, like, swimming labyrinth of games. It was so great. And that was short-lived because then the Game Boy came out. Did you have the original Game Boy?
I did.
The following Christmas, I believe, is we were crazy for it.
All I played was Tetris.
Yeah, I love Tetris. But we had Gator... Pinball, did you have that? And then Super Mario Land was on there, too. And then a handful of other games. But the reason why I wanted to bring it up is because I'll never forget this commercial. I thought of it earlier when I was playing with my new docking station for my PS Vita. And it was a print ad in a magazine for the Game Boy. So it had a picture of a kid. I mean, the Game Boy was not a super portable device in terms of portable devices. It had no light on it. It had... required
you needed a separate power.
Yeah.
Clip-on backlight.
Thing to help shine on the screen. So you could only play it in a car when it was bright outside. It required four AA batteries, which you would eat through in the space of an hour if you played it continuously. So it had like an external AC adapter thing. So the print ad has a picture of a kid that he's like, it says portable, and it's like the dumbest, dorkiest looking kid. His hair's all shabby. He's got the horn rim, 50s glasses, a white collared t-shirt with a nerd pocket protector thing that used to be super dorky. And he's like, and he's just holding his lame Game Boy all by itself. And then next to it, same kid, but in a cool 80s t-shirt and awesome spiky hair, sunglasses instead of horn rim, and cool jeans and colored background. Beep, 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 beep. And it says unportable, and it's him with the Game Boy, and then all these accessories that you can buy for it. It's a carrying case and a cartridge holder and an AC adapter and a light board for it and all this stuff that you don't need. And I remember I even looked at that at the tender age of 11 and was like, why is that cooler? Wouldn't it be cooler if the Game Boy had all that stuff in it and that you didn't need an external power source and a lighting thing? Wouldn't that make it better?
No. Then it's unportable.
Oh. Be unportable. It's a portable gaming device. I totally didn't get it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I would never have had anything cool like that if it wasn't for my mom. My dad So, like, I remember the Game Boy. I don't know. I could be misremembering, but I just remember it being a thing where... I didn't even know it was the thing to have, but my mom did.
And so Oh, really? She funded you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She bought me all my Levi's jeans. My dad would buy me the Orchard Supply Oshkosh jeans.
That's awesome. Cut.
And then my mom would, buy me video games. And she always became the person, until I got my paper out, she became the person who funded all my video
games. Then you were able to take care of yourself because of your boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I had money. Like, I would just buy my
own. You had your own money.
I didn't have a sugar daddy, but I had money, so I would just buy my own games. And we used to have a video store called the Video King that we would go down. So it was the sports
games. Yeah, remember, that was a whole genre or a whole type of market, these, like, independent mom-and-pop games stores. We had Knights Video. That was our guys.
And so we would ride our bikes down there. It took us probably about a half hour to get our bikes there. Yeah.
Worth it.
Which I was thinking about this too. It's like today, if you ride somewhere for 5 minutes, you have to have a water break. But we would just go and sweat and die. Although there was an AM/PM right across the street, so sometimes if I had money, like because I was the roller,
yeah.
I would buy everybody a soda and we'd do the suicides. Remember the suicides?
Oh yeah, one of everything. Yeah. So that was back when the flavor of sugar was good.
Yeah. And all of the narrative games, like, or any kind of platform game or something like that, we would buy, we would rent and try to beat before it was due back. And
oh, nice.
Then I would just go and rent it again because I was the guy who had the money.
Yeah.
I would always re-rent it or just pay the late fee on it. But we would
Was that more than re-renting it?
What do you mean?
Like, if you didn't return it in time, did you pay more than if you made it back and re-rented it?
The late fee was was a lot more. I think it was like an extra buck. And if you went...
That's like two Slurpees.
Right.
Or four Tootsie Pops.
I'm so surprised. It's so funny that I'm so hyper aware of, like, money stuff now, but I think I was pretty generous with my money when I was a kid.
You're still pretty generous with your money now.
I am?
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel like
How many meals have I eaten on your dime, and you never think twice about it? In fact, you get angry when I suggest that I should contribute.
I don't get angry?
Yeah, it's a little hostile.
Really?
Jacob and I have been talking about it.
Well, I'd like for him to pull his
dad. Dad gets mad.
Dad gets mad.
Don't offer to help.
Don't offer. He just gets mad. But yeah, I would. Oh, gosh. Man, yeah, those are good times where we just sit in somebody's house. And we were smart enough to wear it because there was three friends that lived on my street. And what we would do is if, like, somebody's parents said, okay, guys, you need to take a break and go outside. We'd be like, all right, we go outside, play a game of basketball, and then go over to somebody else's house with the game.
Nice.
And then play it over there because we all had the consoles.
Very clever, yes.
And I'll never forget for as long
But what did you do about save games? Because there were no save games.
I don't remember. Like, because most of my fun times were... I was a kid who was never into sports because I was not athletic at all.
Right.
And yet, I love sports games. I loved everything about it. I don't know if it had to do with my friends. Like, my friends were way into playing, like, you know, the Pee Wee baseball and stuff. We used to have it called Bell Passy Baseball in Modesto. And they all played. I never played baseball. I didn't do any of that stuff. I didn't take karate classes. And, like, I took a little bit of a class when I was in junior high. But I was never in anything extracurricular when I was a kid. Nothing. And so I don't know why, but we got into the sports games and you never saved them. You just took turns playing.
Oh, sports games you wouldn't need to. Yeah,
you wouldn't need to save.
Actually, now that I think about it, like on the NES, if there were save games, they were on the cartridge themselves because that's where the information was. So like Zelda, the games that actually had saves, they weren't on the hardware. They were on the cartridge.
And there, I just remember getting games. Like, I remember we thought it was so cool that we got Friday the 13th, the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because we couldn't play it.
Yep. Why not?
And, because it was so hard.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, and it made no sense. But the biggest memory I have of getting a game was I was the first one on my block to get the Sega Genesis. That was the second one, right? Or the...
Yeah.
And when it came with Joe Montana Football.
Yeah.
And I want to pull up the graphics of that now. Because when we saw the graphics, we had played John Madden, I think it was. Or no, we'd been playing Super Tecmo Bowl. And when we saw the graphics on Joe Montana Football, we were like, can you believe what we're seeing?
This is amazing.
Like, we all sat in I remember the opening cutscene and just going... Holy crap.
The future is now.
Look at this. It looks so real. Oh my gosh, yes. Look at this. Look at these images of the game. Now that...
It actually looked like a thing.
Yeah. Now it looks like... It looks pretty cool. And look at his opening. That was in the opening.
Because they look like actual people as opposed to like lines and dots.
Just lines and squares and... Let's see, Joe Montana Football demo gameplay first. Okay, yeah. Let's see if this shows. Here, I'm going to turn your thing down to see if. Oh, that music!
Yeah, not bad. Football. Oh, wow, and it was him.
Look, look. But they couldn't have the Niners. Oh, gosh.
So it says Sega on his screen instead.
Oh, this
instead.
Is
yeah,
so
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Oh, you have no idea how cool this is to me. That music alone was just so amazing. Joe Montana's game picks have top-notch team, so you want to make take on my teammates and me. We'll have you... Oh, okay, it gives you a little game plan of each of the teams. Run right up the middle on these guys. The defense is weak and will give up a lot of yards. Oh, gosh.
Oh, it's good.
Is this bad podcasting?
No, I think it's great. Remember this sound?
This is really cool for me.
Do you remember this sound that's like supposed to be the crowd? To me, whenever I heard this in games, it always made me think of static electricity, of like we're lost somewhere in cyberspace.
Oh, we were just... I wish you could go back to my room. And look at the play art. Oh, gosh.
That looks pretty
good. Yes, John Madden football was before this because John Madden was the first one to introduce 11-on-11 football.
What was this?
This was 11-on-11, so this came after.
Oh, I see.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that. You'd have these plays that it would. Joe would have his own plays. Oh, listen to the sound.
Oh, that sounded like words.
Oh, my gosh.
I wonder if those were actual digital dither-down recordings of words, or if somehow they tweaked the sound maps in order to make the sounds. That sounds like a voice. Yeah, that sounds like a voice.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny.
You get traveling there? Is that what just...
Yeah, it's double dribble. Oh, my gosh. This is incredible. Oh, wait, let's see if it'll... Yeah, the touchdown. Here, we'll go to touchdown. Look, here comes. He's going to return a punt for a touchdown. You can break tackles.
And see, now listening to that, imagine yourself as a parent that was alive in the 60s, and you hear this playing in your kid's room. That's not very interesting. And if we hear that, like, I can get why my parents would be like, that's not very good, because there's not a lot going. Now games are, like, full-on movies. My wife walked by you playing Uncharted and was like, what happens to the girl and the guy? Did they get together? Like, hooked into the narrative of the story. Games that we were playing in our kids' bedroom, there's a reason why they were saying going outside, because there was very little value to this. Listen to this. What is that noise?
Oh, fumble. Oh, gosh, this game was so good.
We'll have to get it for you.
Yeah.
See, I, back in the Miller household, I worked to get the Super Nintendo and worked extremely hard to move up to the next level. But my brother, meanwhile, 3 years younger than me, fought to get the Sega Genesis, which was the Sega companion. And if you'll give me back the music.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, don't be. This game, so we would have, it was always a war zone between my brother and I. You don't understand this as an only child, but you've seen it develop within your own home. We essentially were two nations stuck on the same desert island. And so on my side of the nation, we had the Nintendo. On his side of the nation, he had the Sega. And he had a game that I desperately always wanted to play called Kid Chameleon. And we are listening to the sound of it. And like you listening to that, it just brings back all this like, oh, why? I want to play this right now. So Kid Chameleon, like Super Mario, it would change into different suits based on things that he would touch, just like Sly does in Thieves in Time. Because in Super Mario World, you remember in Super Mario 3, you did the raccoon thing. So in Super Mario World, you did something similar. In Kid Chameleon, you get sucked into a video game, into a holographic video game, and then you would have all these different things you would become, and that's why it was called Kid Chameleon. Uh-huh. So it was like Kid versus Cyberspace. And my brother and I would have like trade-off times so that I could play his Sega while he would play my Super Nintendo. It was the only way that we could survive. They were very delicately arranged treaties that often involved Lego pieces.
Really?
Like, there were Lego pieces that
he
wanted.
You guys had a prison currency.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we were very little, I had this Astro Lego set that had these shields that would drop down and open up like this on a hinge, like a cockpit on a plane, but they were blue and see-through. And it's some stupid trade I made. I traded them to him, and he made Bat Commander, which was this Lego man with just arms sticking out and legs sticking out, and then he used those shields as the wings. And I fought for years to trade back the wings, and every trade that came up, I would always request, can I have Bat Commander's wings? No. Can I have Bat Commander's wings? No. When finally my brother grew up, and I didn't, I now own all the Legos, and I have reminded him several times that I own the Bat Commander wings and all of his battle beasts.
I know, Kevin. I know you do. That's awesome.
Meanwhile, on the Super Nintendo front, for me, it's always Christmas that you would get these sort of things, right? So I sat around, and I think I might have shared this before on the show, that I wanted Super Mario Brothers so badly and wanted the Super Nintendo so badly that on Christmas Eve, I laid in my living room dreaming about how the next day, like literally up for hours, thinking about how all I was going to do the next day was play Super Mario World because I was convinced that I was going to get it. I didn't get it. I didn't get a Super Nintendo.
You telling me the story, yeah.
That no matter how badly I wanted it, it didn't come, and I was so sad.
What the hell, Santa?
And it wasn't like the Nintendo where I was getting it later. It was not on the menu, and I was devastated. I then worked for months to scrape together every penny that I could and finagle and sell
things. What kind of chores did you have to do?
I don't recall the chore system of, like, work for money or any of that kind of stuff. I remember being a very nominal amount of money, like maybe $5 or something a week. That would probably be pretty good.
You had an allowance? You didn't have to do chores?
I think it was you did things, but then you also got allowance for it. Yeah. But it wasn't, what I want to do with my kid is there are tasks, chores are a part of the household when he's old enough. Everybody does chores. I don't get paid for taking out the trash, and I don't want him to think that that's something you get paid to do, because when you grow up and move out of your house, nobody's going to pay you to take out your trash, but I'm going to pay him for his grades when he gets old enough to make schoolwork, and I'll find something comparable to that when he's younger that he needs to accomplish. Excuse me. Sorry.
Please stop doing that.
I'm sorry.
You're ruining the show.
I usually am. I'm going to go home and play this. Super Mario World was a pretty sweet game. I need a Nintendo in my house again.
I know, right?
I'm
sitting here looking at Joe Montana footballs and John Madden football, and I was like, man, that music.
Why? Yeah.
I need
just
to make
that
right my ringtone.
Oh, yeah. That'd be
That's
good.
What I'm going to do.
Can you make it a ring back tone?
No. I don't know how to do that.
Now, if you would play our opening theme song again for us. Did you ever have Mario Paint?
No.
Oh, now, Mario Paint was like... Now where I am with, like, the Kinect and the Move and all those, that's how I felt about Mario Paint when it came around. It was another, like, $80, and it was this whole external thing. I can't even remember what it looked like. I think it was, like, a touchpad or something or a drawing thing, something. And it allowed you to make art and music like this. And the neighborhood kid got it, this kid that I knew, it was about in junior high now, and he was going to sell it to me for some stupid reason for half the price, and I went over to his house to buy it to him because I was crazy for it, and I was going to buy his Super Nintendo off him, that's right, and he had gotten Mario Paint instead. We eventually got Mario Paint. My brother, again, was always better at playing my games than I was, so he got this, and then he just killed it and would be able to make all this stuff, but I think in my junior year in high school, I used Mario Paint to submit a video for class.
Wow.
So I drew little... It was Oedipus Rex? No, the Odyssey. Mm-hmm. So I drew an animated cartoon of the Cyclops attacking the crew and the sheep and everything. And then to make it work, because it wasn't really intended to be outputted in anything. It was just supposed to watch on the Nintendo. In retrospect, I don't know why I didn't just bring my Nintendo to school. Oh, because there was no I couldn't have narrated over it, so I like narrated on top of it, and so I took the Nintendo and watched the video, recorded into an audio deck at the same time, then took that to the only stereo system in our house with an audio out that I could then with tight wires stretched across our room to the television VCR, plug that in, and the Nintendo video in on the other, and then press play on both at the same time on other sides of the room. Timed it out because I knew there would be a delay from hitting play on the Nintendo to play on the audio cassette because I knew I couldn't get over there in time because my brother wasn't going to help me. And then played it back. So I synced up this.
He was a communist Sega.
With his Beastmasters and moonwalking.
They were altered beast.
And so made this whole video, like synced up this whole thing. It was long, too. It was like 3 or 4 minutes long of this animated cartoon that I turned in. And the teacher's response, it was effort that went into this thing. And it was funny. It did all the points that you're supposed to do, whatever. And her response was, well, it sounds like you kind of made it up as you went along. I mean, I drew this whole cartoon, then I just record myself talking about it or narrating it in real time. I was like, well, I did, but I still, like, production-wise alone, my effort far exceeds the kid that drew a picture for this class assignment.
Kevin, in 20 years, you'll be able to do this on your phone.
It's true. It's true. And it makes me mad. What was your favorite? Was Joe Montana your favorite of that generation of the Sega Genesis Super Nintendo?
Hands down. Joe Montana. And then John Madden football quickly replied. Like, It was kind of weird. That's why I was trying to look at it, but I felt like I wouldn't be able to listen at the same time. But I was trying to look to see, because I remember playing the first John Madden football, and then we liked it because we had Tecmo Bowl, and I think Tecmo Bowl had like 3 down linemen and a quarterback or whatever, and a running back and a couple receivers. There was something about the blocking that they just didn't have down right. When Madden came out, we played that and we loved it. But then Joe Montana football came out, and I distinctly could see myself in my room with all my friends, and we just sat there with our mouths open at that opening sequence.
Just sat there going, like it was the opening of Star Wars.
Oh my gosh! Yes, that's a great way to put it, because I feel like Joe Montana football was Star Wars to my childhood. That, what everybody gets all, like the people versus George Lucas.
Yeah.
I would be able to be a voice on the people versus Joe Montana football. Like if somebody had something had happened where it ruined, they made another version of it or something. And then from then on, that's all we ever did.
It
was John Madden football, John Madden football, John Madden football until I got into high school. And then I found out about boobies.
Yeah. And that's what I was just going to say. Give me a little music there. At the end of that generation of Super Mario was Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, which is hands down my favorite game of that generation. Same sort of premise, but a totally different art style than any other game out. And it looked like crayons. Like now, there are art directors on games, and they have the technology to be able to say, I want the game to look like this or feel like a painting or look like pinatas or toys or whatever. And Yoshi's Island, I think, was the first to be like, okay, we know what the technology can do on its own. Let's try to make it look like something. And that was Yoshi's Island, where they weren't hamstrung by the technology, but made it look like a coloring book. And it was fun and different, and the music was great. So then I entered into high school. So we missed all of the, whatever the next generation Nintendo was, whatever the next generation, like Dreamcast. I barely skated through it. What was the big Nintendo that came after
Super
that?
Super Nintendo.
And then it was
GameCube?
It's the one
Nintendo
in between.
Nintendo 64.
Nintendo 64, yeah. I had a girlfriend that got that, and we played Pod Racers on it. That was the only game.
Like I was way older. Like, I'm well into high school.
Yeah, like high school, early
high school,
college. Because that's when we played. That's when
Mario. At Jeremy's house.
Yeah, all that Mario generation.
The Mario Party.
Yeah, those came out and stuff. So we weren't paying attention to those. But the punchline for me of the whole generational thing is that I've grown up and working in a studio that was recording voiceovers for games. So I had money coming out of my ears because I lived at home. And I still have this. I went into the store to get an Xbox on the release the week that it had come out, and go in, and there's, you know, hundreds, not hundreds, there are dozens of people there climbing all over the store because they had just had the big console release, and they were only selling the Xbox if you bought 3 games, one of which had to be a Microsoft based game. So I got like Abe's Odyssey and some other cool Xbox game, and then some stupid Microsoft based party game that was lame as lame could be, and I spent like $500.
what was their attempt? Was it Monkey Ball? What was their attempt at Mario Party?
Yeah, it was. Oh, that was a different game. That was on the Sega. I can't remember what the name of this game was. It was like Cyber Crashers or something really lame. But while I'm in that store with that in hand, getting rung up, I asked the person behind the counter, just out of interest, "Hey, you don't have GameCubes, do you?" Because they had come out maybe 2 or 3 weeks earlier. And the regular old clerk says, "No, we don't." And the owner goes, "Yeah, actually, we have some in the back." And I go, "I would like one of those as well."
I do remember this.
He walks into the back. He says, "It's the same deal. You have to buy 3 games to get the GameCube at the same time." I said, "Fair enough." Went over, picked out Luigi's Mansion and I think Super Mario Sunshine and something else, Super Smash Brothers Melee probably, and walked over.
$800 later.
Yeah, and I was with a friend, and she's like, "Do you want me to?" I'm carrying an Xbox and 3 games in my left hand and a GameCube with 3 games in my right hand. And she goes, "Do you want some help carrying that?" I go, "Oh, no, I don't." And I strolled out of there with my $1,000 worth of video game software and consoles hard drive and came up. I still have the receipt from that experience of, like, I was such a baller. I bought not one console, but 2 consoles. If there was ever a question that I was a gamer, signed, sealed, delivered.
Am I right? Because I remember you hearing about this in the makeup room.
Yeah.
About the right time?
Probably not the makeup room. It would have been Nickelodeon, because I was working at Webtoon at that time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a little later than that. Because when we were in the makeup room, you weren't there that year. We all got Game Boy Colors, yeah. And we sat around and played all the
old school.
I got
one, but I played it at Nickelodeon.
Oh, we should have played. And then when we played at Webtoon, when you worked at Webtoon, we both got Game Boy Vistas. What were they called?
Advance?
Yes, and we sat and linked in the back seat of cars.
Because we could play F-Zero. Yeah. When we drive and stuff to college.
Oh, memory lane. Do we have other things to discuss?
We have 2 other things, and we have about 10 minutes to do them in.
Let's go to the news feed. Well, that's good. We started with 10 years ago, and we ended with 10 years ago. So let's talk about what's going on today. Just a few weeks ago, Grand Theft Auto V made $800 million opening day.
$800 million.
Opening day.
Opening. Now, that's in sales. That's not in just sales. Like profit. We don't know how much they spent.
The point is that they sold 11 million units opening day.
Wow.
Does that hurt your brain? I want to double check that. I'm looking at the stats right here. Let me just make sure I'm reading it right, because I don't want.
When you first told me this,
you
said billion, by the way.
Grand Theft. Did I really? Yeah. No, nothing has made $800 billion.
Yeah, when you said $800 billion, I go, well, yeah, we should be talking about that.
I texted you that they made $800 billion?
I thought we were talking about it on the phone.
Oh, maybe.
Let me check my text message, because I think it did. Oh, I don't have my phone in here.
They made, just to put this into perspective for you, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, how much do you think that they brought in within their first 24 hours?
40 million.
500 million.
Oh,
so, but that's close. That would be the last big game. Yeah, they were right behind it. They went on to make they went on to make $1 billion within the first 15 days of their release. I don't know what the Grand Theft Auto's totals are at right now, but they're not telling you. The thing that's so funny and what everybody goes to with this, though, is the film industry, because movies will release at $42 million.
It's made $1 billion, you said, which it
$800 billion. Yeah. So, you know, movies will make, you know, Avatar may, you know, finally broke $1 billion or whatever, and it took them, you know, a year or so, whatever. Avengers made $500 million when it was in theaters, and so on and so forth. And so everybody compares this $800 million on first day sales to the film industry, and it's such a weird thing, kind of to talk about what we were talking about last week. It's such a weird comparison to say that these arts, that you can make that comparison in terms of money. I feel like it's comparing bicycle sales to car sales.
It is.
Because, they both get you around, but they have a completely different marketplace.
And I think...
And a totally different function.
I think and tell me if I'm wrong, I feel like there's a lot more man hours in video games, which leads to a higher expense. Although,
well, you don't film have, and
like,
development
stars, like, you know, we don't have to worry about Robert Downey's pay.
There's nobody, with the exception of, unless they're getting celebrities like Last of Us, a big portion of their budget, no doubt, went into the performance, but they're also working for several days in part of development and saving them a ton of money in animation, you know, blocking, all that kind of stuff, the camera angle, like all that settled for you because you had a director. And some actors solve all that stuff on a green screen, and then they just choose the camera angle around it.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. That's what I want to say. It's like it's they have to compare it to themselves. Like, let's not try to compare it to what the film industry does in terms of sales, other than the fact that you can say we've arrived. Like, the game industry is able to make money that you see in the sports industry, in the film industry, in the television industry. Obviously, games are not just what we were just they're not Joe Montana.
All you need to do is have excessive amounts of violence and hookers.
Yeah, or like BioShock, just have that kid train the thing in its head.
Shouldn't have gone there, bro.
Why did I bring
talk that? About Ape Escape?
They hurt the apes and then they scoop out their brains.
Wait, what?
What
is
version?
That why they have sirens?
Oh, I was talking about the documentary of the same name. So, big props to the folks over at Rockstar Games. I mean, they make great games. I think they made one of my all time favorite games, Red Dead Redemption. I'm really hoping that they'll announce that they're doing a Red Dead 2 now that this GTA.
They're going to skip straight to 5 because that's the one that makes the most money.
Oh, clearly it makes $800 billion.
Yeah.
They can buy all of Africa for that kind of money.
Well, it's funny too because in the same vein, I personally. I've played all of the Grand Theft Autos, except for obviously this one. I think the Saints Row games are better games.
Oh, interesting.
More fun, but they're like
because they're more fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're a companion to the Grand Theft Auto. They're like, well, if you like this, see what happens when we royally screw with it.
It's like NBA Streets. If you like football, play NBA Streets. I got myself into a corner there.
Okay, bye. It's funnier and it's the scary movie version of if Grand Theft Auto was Scream, then Saints Row is Scary Movie. You know what is that?
Grand Theft Auto is Scream. Oh yeah. Okay, good
you
analogy.
See what I'm saying?
I love that we're keeping it 1999, 2000 circa.
Listen,
it's very good.
Somebody wrote. Did you see that tweet? That
no.
Somebody tweeted that they said my two favorite podcasts have young listeners and make nothing but 80s and 90s references.
What was their other show? Was it this one?
Ours and then somebody else
that's funny.
I didn't know. But
so it wasn't the dad's podcast?
No. No. I don't make that many old references, I don't think, in that one.
That's great.
But anyway, I think it just makes it more fun. And like it's great because spoiler alerts. Skip ahead 15 seconds or 30.
For
probably.
What game? For
Saints Row.
Oh, got it.
In the
Hobbit.
In Saints Row 2, you die, like, in this mass explosion. And in Saints Row 3, they have this kind of like a montage or whatever where they save you and bring you back to life. And then you, because they had to rebuild you because you were involved in a yacht explosion, you get to rebuild your face and rebuild your character.
Ah, very clever.
But and then you come back as the same, like, it's the same voice and everything.
That's
that
clever.
You can choose.
That's clever.
And, I don't know. I think it's a funny game. I'll definitely play both, you know, once
I'm done
with Last of Us.
Somebody was asking me recently over lunch, like, why haven't you got into that? Is that because of the content? And I was, not really. Obviously, I was willing to dive into BioShock, even though I knew that the content wasn't naturally my bag. But I've yet to be compelled by a game that takes place in urban America. Like, it just doesn't attract me. There are people that are all about being a criminal and running around and doing coke deals and living that gangster lifestyle. That just doesn't draw me in. Add an alien in there. I don't know. You put it in the Old West. Oh, really?
Saints Row 4. you kind of take over the world in Saints Row 4.
Nice.
Like you take over the corporation that's trying to take over the world.
Nice.
And the commercials seem to be showing that there's an alien race that comes in, and that's the new gang you have to fight. Is this right. Alien race?
When does that come out?
That's already out.
Oh, okay. I gotta go.
Probably discounted.
That's probably great. I'll check. Maybe I can demo that.
$30 now.
But because I love Red Dead so much, and I've seen some of the screenshots from this game, that I was like, oh, it looks like. So it looks like Red Dead, but set in a city, and
Grand
maybe
Theft
I would
Auto
enjoy
gets
it.
An unfair shake, I think, as far as being so crazy and violent. Like, it's no different than watching the movie Heat. I know you didn't think this, but I think it deserves being said because I think anybody who likes the game is either they're already aware of it and they're like, yeah, of course, or they're like, yeah, he's right. Because yes, there are things where you could go pick up a hooker and then you could, have them take care of it. But it's not like you're not seeing a graphic act.
Yeah.
If you actually do the camera angle to look through the side window, you just see the the unanimated, you know, blow up doll esque, you know, lady of the night just stand there staring, barely even blinking, and while the car shakes, and then she gets up and leaves, and then you could shoot her and take her money.
and so, which is no different. Honestly, it's no different than just Wayne Lace to 1,000 Mexicans in Red Dead Redemption. Like, the idea that that's immoral, like, oh, he had sex with this prostitute and then shot her.
I think a better
it's
example
all fantasy.
Is stomping on walking mushrooms and destroying bird-like turtles for the sake of your own desires for a little bit of tail from a princess. I mean, let's honestly think about the killing spree that Mario went on compared to what you do in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, what is the deal? We got to talk about that for hours. So next time, we're going to untap the psychology of video game archetypes and what these characters are doing. There's an organization that started to ask the question. It's like a build-your-own-game question. Like, what in the world does the princess do when she's locked in the tower? Like, from that character's point of view, and what... And this is another. I saw another game writer say this at GDev or Game Dev, where they said, "What in the world compels Mario to save her ass every time by herself, by himself? Why the Mushroom Kingdom doesn't have an army? Why does it take this one dude to be like, 'I'll do it'?
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
In the few short minutes we have left before we're out of time.
Oh no, no.
What this really means is that this is propaganda.
Yeah.
Because Mario is a dictator.
Ah.
It's not, he isn't the hero that we all believe he is. I mean, think about it. When you look at a Goomba or a Koopa,
yeah,
do you really see anger, kidnapping? What if Princess Toadstool is, you know, just kind of a loony chick who craves drama? I mean, we've seen lots of that.
See, you're already putting more narrative into it than any of those games I've ever had.
Because that's what I see.
And I'm sold.
Yeah.
Let's pitch that game to Nintendo. Do we have time to make a phone call?
Sure. We can make a quick phone call. We're at an hour right now.
All right. Well, we'll conclude with our phone call. We got so much to discuss. You'll have to tune in next week.
Yeah.
But we promised this guy that we make a phone call. So I'm going to dial up an expert on the Diablo series. We're super excited that Diablo is finally coming to the console, and this guy agreed to be on our show, so we were supposed to talk to him about an hour ago. Hopefully he is available to pick up, and if not, then this is a lot of build up for nothing. So
hello.
Oh, hi, Sertaragus.
Yes, this is Satan. How are you?
Oh, I'm sorry, Satan.
I go by my pen name when I'm on podcast. It's a pseudonym I use.
We are stoked to have you on here. Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm a big fan of the show. I like everything you guys do over there. I like that guy Justin, the way he talks about his wife and when she chimes in and he's like, "Shut up!"
That's, you know? we actually don't do.
That just always tickled me in my words.
we actually don't
you
do
just
that.
Gets the four tails swinging. No.
We actually, that's our old show.
That dog that wouldn't shut up.
Yeah. That's our, I'm glad you like it. We've archived that.
What I'm saying is I love the JK show. Glad to be on it.
Yeah, that's our old show. We now do a show called Gamerland.
What's that?
Yeah, we do a show called Gamerland, and we talk almost exclusively about games. Also, some of the things that are perspective about being guys in the 30s, so our kids and games of that era that we played as children. So we called you
today. I'm sure that's good, too.
It's great.
I haven't heard it. Maybe I need to play catch up. I've been a little busy down here, so
I would like to know as little about that as possible.
You don't want to know what we got going on here?
Probably not.
Hey, guys, cut the presentation. They're not going to want the presentation. No, we don't want a presentation. No, just go. Go away.
Great. Thanks.
Did you like that I had to turn my head to do that?
Appreciate it. It was very good. Well, we were excited because Diablo is finally... Diablo?
That's my Mexican cousin.
Well, he's coming to the console.
He tries to take a lot of my clout.
I'm talking about Blizzard's game Diablo. It's finally coming.
Video
game. Yeah. You of course know everything about it.
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about Diablo coming? I mean, since he's your Mexican cousin, coming to the PlayStation.
I have to be honest with you.
I didn't know you were capable of that function.
Well, even when I am honest, I am in a way lying. So the idea of honesty makes me laugh. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I do not have any affiliation mm-hmm. with the Diablo series.
Oh.
I don't like the way that they... I feel like it's propaganda against my cause.
Wait, I was going to ask, because I played it at E3, uh-huh. and I wanted to ask questions about your character leveling up
yeah.
within the RTS-based system. And
I would be probably the last person you should
You have to know something about trolling dungeons.
What you're doing is a little thing that we like to call demonist, okay?
I'm sorry.
You hear the word Diablo, and you instantly think that I know everything. We all know each other. Is that what you think? You see another demon, and you assume that we're friends, that we're buddies?
Yeah. I thought so, yes. I'm sorry, I thought...
We know most of each other, but we don't know all of us.
I'm sorry.
It's a little offensive.
I'm very sorry.
Normally I'm on board, but not in this venue.
Do you know the guy Legion that infested the pigs and made them jump into the ocean when Jesus told them to?
I feel like that's that guy that was in that Tom Cruise vehicle. Is that the one you're trying to talk about?
Probably.
Really atrocious horns on that guy. I mean, Jiminy Christmas, did they go Pamela Anderson with those horns or what? I mean, guys, if we could do a Skype situation on this, but I've got, like, no bandwidth down here. I'll be honest with you. The temperature alone just eats up the conductors, and let me tell you how much porn is coming down here.
I believe it's pretty
insane. We get a lot of it, and it might as well be AOL speed. You know what I mean? That's a reference from 1987. That's not true either. It's probably closer to what?
Like 94.
99, 94?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very busy.
Well, Mr. Satine, Ceratoculus, I'm sorry, Diablo's cousin. What was your name?
Do you want me to come up there?
No! Have a great day! Thanks for listening to the JK Show!
That's virtually impossible for me to have a great day. I am literally living in hell.
All right, thank you!
It's not a picnic down here for me either. All right, guys? Hold on, I got some fires to put out. That's a joke for your show. Tell that comedian guy. All right? Okay. Bye, guys. Long time, first time.
Well, that didn't quite go as well as we thought.
Really? Yeah. I thought it was very successful. I thought it went pretty well.
Next time, you should both interview him and listen to him. And I will sit off to the side. We'll just put both of these mics in the same general area and see what happens.
Oh, well, that's good. How many podcasts get a quick call from Satan himself? I think more than probably we would assume.
Next week we need to call some sort of fairy or a robot. Okay. Or we got a lot of phone calls to make.
We have about 6 options.
Yeah. All right. We got 5 weeks ahead of us.
Unless I make $1,000.
I don't know. I think we can call Bowser. Now okay. We know that.
Yeah, we can call Bowser. We'll start.
We can call the guy from the Metallica songs, the Enter Sandman. There's a lot of options.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the show. Send us an email to show at gamerlandpodcast.com.
Right, start all over. Oh, just start the whole show over.
Here we go again. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/gamerlandpodcast. Follow us on Twitter at gamerlandpod. The big thing we're pushing, though, is go to facebook.com/IWantSlyCooper in his own animated series. And let's Betty White this bitch and make it real.
Damn.
On behalf of Kevin Miller, this is Just Worship saying, okay, bye.